Another episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We're back on the other side. We got Brawley in St. Louis. How's it going, man?
Well, I just got off a plane from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where it was 75 degrees and sunny, and now I'm back to the blustery 40 degrees of St. Louis, where it's just quite frankly disgusting here. So I wish I was back on holiday, but I'm doing fine. How are you, Tony?
I am great. I am in a brand new apartment. You have some brand new internet. Folks, we've been testing this out for maybe about 15, 20 minutes, and we haven't had any lags or bad sound. So I'm really excited to do this podcast. We had a few reasons, scheduling. I was moving. Brawley was getting internet change. That's why we've been gone recently. But we're about to try to get back to doing Sunday nights. I'm going to take my podcast equipment with me to sunny Florida this weekend when I go visit my family. Brawley, hopefully will be ready to go on Sunday as well, and we'll get back to our normal time, putting the podcast out for the Monday morning commute for the UK.
And I'm also working on getting a few guests here. I know you guys get bored of probably hearing the same two voices every week, and I am working on getting some ex-players and a few other celebrity guests, hopefully, in the near future. I am working on it. But it's slow going, as many people who are in the podcast industry can tell you. It is not easy to line up guests, and I've gotten pretty lucky in the past. So I am working on it, people. This episode is just Tony and myself. We don't have a lot of positive things to talk about, unfortunately. It's been over 2 months since we last won a football game, which is pretty bizarre to think about after our podcast after the Man United game was all upbeat and we were going for Europe and we're going to be great and this and that, and it has absolutely fallen off the rails since then. So I guess we can just dive right into the Tottenham game, unless you have anything you want to add before that, Tony.
No, I'm unfortunately ready to go into the Spurs game. My goal for this podcast is to make sure that we A, keep it entertaining, but B, also try to, I don't know. I don't want to. I'm not. My goal is not to sit here and moan for the next 30 to 45 minutes. You and I are in another group chat with our buddies Liam and Liam, and we had a big conversation today. Before we get into the Spurs game, I just want to mention about people moaning. I understand why people are upset, myself included. You know, this form sucks. We haven't seen a win in a cup competition or in the league in 2 months. September 22nd. Was the last win. But I also have an issue with people that moan nonstop for forever, the last four seasons, the last five seasons, six seasons, because if you can't even think about trying to find something positive, what are you even watching for? I think that would just be absolutely boring and horrible and living a miserable life if you can't even find the positive in going to hang out with your friends on the weekend. So hopefully when you listen to this podcast, you find some sort of entertainment or enjoyment, and we can give some sort of positive reinforcement to your week, since this will be out on Thanksgiving Thursday morning.
As we sit here and record today, we are currently in 17th place, 3 points above the relegation zone. So I understand people who are moaning and upset and all that good stuff. I kind of sit somewhere in the middle of you, like, yeah, it is very annoying to see people nonstop complaining all the time, and it just doesn't do any good any of the time. But having said that, and I think everyone already understands this, but I'm just going to reiterate, had we stayed at Upton Park and we were having this run of form, I don't think anyone would really be that upset. You know, we want to win games. It's disappointing, and probably people would still be mad. But I don't think there'd be as much uproar and despise, because we were sold this idea that we're coming here to compete and we're going to challenge for Europe and all that good stuff. And it's all not gone very well. So I see that side of the argument very well. I see the reason for people not wanting to come to games at all and still complain about it. I try to sit somewhere very, like I said, very much on the fence and very much in the middle. I am livid with this right now. I mean, it is not fun to do this in any way, shape, or form.
I do want to point out this. I'm not the moan police. Like, I'm not saying don't be upset, because I am very annoyed with our current form and the way that this season has gone, especially, which I want to address some of the comments later when we get into the Twitter section about the owners purchasing. And because let me put it like this. 2 months ago, we were riding high. 2 months ago's podcast, we were having a blast. It was a great time. It was fun. Let's do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just get really annoyed when people won't even enjoy the somewhat fun times. And then we get to times like this, and it's just all negativity. And maybe it's just me being selfish. Because when I see negativity, I get engulfed into it. And I just don't want to be a part of that, and it just ruins my day. So maybe it's just me being selfish, trying to be positive. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the last podcast we recorded after the Newcastle game was basically me and you screaming in the microphone for an hour, and we weren't trying to do that again. I think it was a good experience, us getting an instant fan reaction right after the game, but it definitely, you don't have time to calm yourself down. And now that we are calm after basically watching us get thrashed by Spurs, I know we scored two late ones. You could honestly play the same podcast from the Newcastle game and just throw it over to the Spurs game, change the names, and you're going to have the same show, because the same things keep happening. This, and Spurs also had a goal disallowed, so really should have been 4-0, and we would have gotten two late ones. So, I mean, I understand people not being very happy right now, and I am one of those people who are going to be negative probably for the duration of the show.
Okay, so let's talk about the game. You started on the game. What did you do? Were you in St. Louis? Were you on vacation? What did you do for the game?
Well, I tried to. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the house that we were renting, and I tried to get in touch with the Copper City Irons. I did have success at the last minute. However, apparently in Arizona, there is a law, I guess, that prohibits bars opening before 6 a.m., I guess. And the kickoff was at 5:30, and maybe I have that wrong, but that was my understanding. So if I wanted to go to a bar, I would have had to miss the first 30 minutes of the game. And at that early in the morning, that wasn't going to happen. So I decided that I was going to stay in, watch the game at home. And then right after the game, I had a tee time booked for some amazing golf out in the desert on a mountain desert course, which is really cool. So I tried to not let the football ruin the rest of my day after that. Although West Ham tried their hardest to make that happen.
I'm going to have to, when I come to St. Louis, I'm trying to plan a trip. When I come out to St. Louis, you and I are going to have to go for a golf lesson, because I have been trying to play. And the last time I played, I swung and broke the club head off my club, so I'm pretty bad at golf. Don't get me on the links there.
Hey, I'm pretty terrible too, I'm not gonna lie.
All right, we can stink up the golf course together. So I was on my way to Syracuse, New York, during the game to go visit some of my family and go to a Syracuse basketball game, and I had the game on Talk Sport on the radio on the way up the whole time. So that was a fun experience. I like listening to the game on the radio sometimes, especially when we lose, so I don't have to watch them. But it gives you a whole different perspective. It's really interesting how they describe the game differently than when you're just watching it and you have wonderful Arlo White, or you're watching on TV. You have to almost, like, I mean, it's just like anything on the radio. You have to try and picture the way that they describe the game and who they're passing to and whereabouts they are in the field. So I thought that was a really interesting experience.
And we got to mention the really, really unfortunate timing of Maurizio Pochettino getting sacked and then Mourinho coming in. Because the second that happened, I knew it was over for us. Because going into the game, I think you were saying that we're probably going to get smashed by Spurs. I was saying that it's a derby game and anything can happen in those games. So I am not expecting anything. But the second the second Pochettino was sacked, I instantly knew that we were going to be in for a tough day. And sure enough, that's what happened. So, I mean, that's the West Ham way. Have a manager sacked and have the new manager bounce the game that the new guy comes in. And sure enough, Mourinho was appointed within 24 hours of the Pochettino sacking. And I think we were dead and buried right then and there.
Nothing I loved more than watching our social media account, for West Ham's official club account, post some crazy stuff talking about, hey, Jose, see you Saturday. And it was like some clips of him being miserable or times that we scored and beat Man United or Chelsea. And I was just like, I don't think that really affects the game, but I really feel like it's just an omen. It's just a foresight into us getting smacked. Like, I really don't think Mourinho's sitting there like, oh, okay, West Ham's Twitter account posted this, let's beat them. But I just think it's like a foresight of luck or
I think it gives other fans a reason to make fun of us and jump on our backs. At the end of the day, as fans, the last thing you want is to be made fun of for something your team did. And it's just embarrassing the lack of common sense our social media team has sometimes. I actually thought the last few losses, they've actually gone silent for 24 hours after the defeat. And I just think that it's you got to have some common sense when you're doing these things. And it just our social media team does not have it.
Yeah,
it is frustrating.
The nice thing is, I will say, I agree with you. After the first few they did, which was annoying, but the last two or three games, they stopped posting the "we need to do better" quotes.
Yeah, a few days after.
Which was a good idea, because it's really a slap in the face. Maybe the first game, sure. But after five or six games, when you have they're posting quotes like the manager saying, "we need to do better," or players quoting saying, "our mentality was wrong and we need to show strength." Well, motherfucker, why don't you show strength 90 minutes ago when you were playing? I mean, if you knew you had to do that going in, I think it's pretty obvious what you would need to do is show strength during the game, not, "oh, well, we should have done better." Well, yeah, no shit. You should have done better.
Our brothers over at the main West Ham Way podcast have said, and I totally agree, it's patronizing for them to do that to us. It makes us feel stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't think we already know that you guys are in there saying, "oh, we need to be better. That was unacceptable. We need to try harder. We need to put more effort in." It's like we know that. We can see that. I can see that from minute 10 against Spurs, that these guys were not up for it. And I don't understand. I don't understand why Pellegrini cannot get these guys up for the game. Now, I will say I am starting to I haven't really gotten on the players that much, but I am really starting to get pissed off at the prima donnas we have in our team that just throw their heads down at any sign of trouble. So the first goal goes in, heads drop, and we don't look up for it anymore. And they don't care. They just don't care. There's only Snodgrass from minute one gave it his all. Mark Noble, I'll never question. I think he gave it his all. Declan Rice, maybe so-so. I think he's been poorer and poorer every week, although I did think he had a solid start to the game against Spurs. But no one gives a shit, and it's amazing. And Roberto, God help us, Roberto is so goddamn bad. I mean, he is horrendous. I've tried to bite my tongue on Roberto for as long as I can. And I honestly feel bad for the dude, because it's not his fault that we gave him a contract. He's probably thinking, "oh, great, Lucas Fabianski didn't miss a game all last year. I'm going to just come here, ride the pine, collect a paycheck, and go home." And now he is showing how far out of his depth he really is in this league. And it is atrocious. He is at fault for two goals a game, at least. Usually, sometimes one. But in these last three games... on these last three or four games, I can think of two goals where I think Fabianski saves it, and he does not. So it's disgusting, the goalkeeper play, and we are in deep shit right now with the goalkeeper.
I mean, it's crazy. Three goals conceded against Spurs. Okay, Spurs is a good side, even though they're struggling. They're a good side. Three goals to Burnley. Three goals to Newcastle. One goal to Sheffield after we were winning 1-0. Two goals to Everton, two goals to Palace after we were up 1-0. I mean, 4 goals to Oxford. I mean, come on, man. Seriously.
And I'm not trying to pin it all on him because the defense has been absolutely atrocious. But I think if Fabianski's in goal, every single one of those games, we concede one less goal than we do at a minimum. Most of the time, two. So it's if Fabianski doesn't come back soon, we are going to be fucked. I mean, royally fucked. Go ahead.
The only reason I don't blame Roberto completely is I understand where I heard some people saying that he makes the rest of the team lack confidence. Like if you're a defender and you feel that you don't have somebody has your back in goal.
Yeah, you don't you don't trust the voice behind you. It's scary. Right. I've been there. I know what it's like.
I still don't think that accounts for 3 goals. As no. In for me, the attack has been poor. And my theory is, if you have possession, and if you are attacking, the other team can't score if they don't have the ball. So how many giveaways in the last few weeks just from wayward passes, or not even trying to make an easy pass, and they
like
just go
like Valbuena,
right?
The last game, the pass back that was just absolutely
of course.
It's been so bad, so, top to bottom.
Right. So what I'm getting at is, if they're not moving the ball around well, and they're not holding the ball and doing what they need to do, the defense is going to get peppered all game. And then when the defense gets peppered and you have a guy who's leaking goals like a faucet in Roberto, I mean, of course you're going to lose 3-0.
So I agree. So I can move on from bashing Roberto slightly. Yes. But I'm just going to go right into the second half. I don't think we need to discuss specifics in this game, honestly.
No,
I don't think people want
to
hear about it.
No.
I'm going to go for a bright spot. 45 minutes, the return of Mikhail Antonio, who looked up for it. He was ready to play. He was excited to play for West Ham United. He was excited to come back. That's what I want to see. And the rest of those guys, they are not showing it. It's disgusting.
I put out a tweet earlier this week saying that, after the game or during the game or something like that, when he scored and he was playing well. And I said, I will be the first one to hold my hand up and say that Tony Clark was completely wrong about Mikel Antonio. He struggled last season, and I wanted him sold when rumors were Palace were coming into him last January?
Yeah.
Or is it in the summer? Either way. I wanted him gone. I wanted him sold. I wanted them to cash in. And I was completely wrong, and I'll apologize for that. It was a bad call. But there was a lot of people who were like, oh, so glad he's back. Well, it's the same people that were saying that they wanted him gone and won't admit it. Saw someone say that when I said most people wanted him gone, he goes, I don't know who most was. I never seen anything. I was like, if you haven't seen someone call for Mikel Antonio's head, then you are crazy. You remember that, right? There were so many people that wanted him sold.
I think we were discussing it on the podcast, and I said if the right offer came in, I'd get rid. If not, then I'm happy to hang on to him. But I don't mean to go away from your point that you were making here, but 10 minutes into the second half, I was giving him our man of the match award for the effort. He was holding it up. I mean, instant impact on the pitch. He was holding it up. He was actually making defenders do something. Felipe Anderson, I've defended and defended and defended. He's given up. He looks lost out there. He doesn't know what to do, and he has no idea. He has no idea what he's going to do with the ball when he picks it up. He's not taking defenders on, whereas Mikhail Antonio is just running straight at them and making them scared as shit, and they're making him put a tackle in where no one else on the pitch is doing that. So Antonio, that's the one positive I'm going to take away from this game is his work effort and Robert Snodgrass's effort. From minute 1 to 90, Snoddy was chasing the ball down, and I think they were the only two really – including Noble, that really gave it their all from minute one, that 110%. And, you know, we can tolerate losing 3-2 if everyone on the pitch is giving 110%. But it is the manner of disgusting effort that we're putting forward, and how the hell our manager cannot get these players motivated, it scares me to death. And I am about at the end of my rope with the manager at this point in time. And I think 3-2 flattered us massively. Mm-hmm. It should have been 5 or 6-0, and we got two late ones, and it was too late, and the game was over. So, and then people are making the argument, well, we had the fight to come back 2 goals. That probably saves Pellegrini's job. That makes no difference to me. Whether it's 6-0 or 3-2, that scoreline makes no difference. 80 minutes of shit football and being down by 3 or 4 goals ain't going to cut it. And anyway, in any time, in any game, ever, it ain't going to cut it.
Do you know what makes me annoyed about what you just said even more, though? Is
what?
It makes me even more annoyed when you said someone, people were saying, well, 10 minutes of good football will save his job or something like that, and that 3-2 flatters us. Okay, well, if we played for 10 minutes and scored 2 goals, well, what the fuck were they doing for the last other 80 minutes? It just doesn't make any sense. If they did show portions of playing well against Newcastle at the end, when Balbuena scored and Snodgrass. And same against Spurs, when you got Mikel Antonio and then Ogbonna scored in the 97th, you know. We did put some pressure on. Well, then if y'all would have did that from the jump, maybe you would have not been down 1-0 and then dropped your heads, and then 2-0 and 3-0. And then you feel like the world's against you. And then you get one back and you're like, okay, maybe we could do this. I was sitting in my car when they had that goal call from Mikel Antonio, and the sick part about it was I was sitting there like, what if we came back and did this? Even though I know damn well the way we played, we weren't. But I was thinking to myself, man, wouldn't it be nice if we did? But yeah, I agree with you. I'm glad to have Antonio back, and I really think Pellegrini needs to look at himself, and the players need to look at themselves, because the energy levels, and I will question effort. I really don't like doing that, but I will question the effort, because it looks just disgusting. They just look dead, tired. I have no idea.
As soon as the first goal goes in, they stop giving a shit, and they look like, well, we may as well give up now because we lost, because we gave up a goal. So I think we can wrap up the game there. I don't think we want to make anyone relive that game more than we have to, unless you have something more to add.
Yeah, I have one more positive. It was at the game, but outside of the stadium. I wanted to give a congratulations to the West Ham United Official Supporters Club. They had their brand new location for the match day bar at awesome. The Last Drop, which is right outside the stadium. I saw some pictures. Very successful day, it seemed like. I was talking to our friend Andy, and he was very proud of the hard work that him and his team did, and hard work and patience of the actual members, myself included. I can't wait to go check that out. My flag was up, and Andy got a cool picture of it, and I just retweeted them on our Twitter account for the podcast. So if you have a chance, go give them a follow, and go grab a membership and check that out. It was a really fun time. I always went when we were at Stour, and they got me in back at the old location, back at the bowling ground when I went over there on vacation that final season. So the Supporters Club has done a lot for me as an international fan, so I just wanted to give them a shout out that I'm really excited for what they have coming up in the future.
I totally agree. I mimic that 100%. I love the Supporters Club. I love everything that they do, and I'm glad they have found a home. Because it sounded like they were getting screwed over at the old place. So I'm glad that they found a new home. Anyway, go ahead.
One more thing, though. Because this is the West Ham Way USA, I also do want to plug the West Ham Way match day events, because those are also a great time. I did that the last time I was there because of the timing, and I wanted to meet X himself and Dave Walker, and that was a blast too. I got to go to the Matty Jarvis event. I think I talked about that in the past after our Crystal Palace podcast. So I do want to plug them too. It's going to be a tough decision for me because I'm really excited to. I'll have to hit both events. I'm going to the Bournemouth game on January 1st. I'm flying from Baltimore to Heathrow and going straight from Heathrow to the game against Bournemouth at the London Stadium, and I'll hopefully be there for the FA Cup as well. So come say hi when I figure out what my plans are.
if you do ever go over, try to get over for two home games. Definitely check out the West Ham Way event and the Supporters Club, because honestly, it's probably the two best things you can do before a home game if you want a real experience with real West Ham fans. And they're both worthy causes. So I would definitely suggest checking out both of those events if you ever get over. Now, Tony, I think we're going to go ahead and move into our Q&A section. You put out a Q&A tweet. So the first one here is from my friend Dave Sperry in St. Louis, whose shoulder has healed since his spill in Vegas, at DSD Sperry 1980. And his first question is Pellegrini going to start two up top or leave Allaire alone and frustrated this week? And did the last 20 minutes of the Spurs game save his job? So I'll let you start with that one.
I do not think he changes formation. He seems like a rigid manager. We talked about in one of our group chats, like, he doesn't seem like he wants to change things. To me, if he was going to change them, it would have been 3 weeks ago, after the fifth result in a row, or whatever it was then. So if it's been now 8 results in a row without a win, whether it's the cup or 3 points in the league, I don't think he changes formation, and I am very, very concerned what Chelsea is going to do to us this weekend.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he played 4-4-2 at his other clubs around the world. So this worries me, because this clearly shows that he doesn't have any faith in a Yeti. And
yeah,
he doesn't want to admit. Now, maybe the other possibility is sticking Antonio up front with Allaire and hoping that he works off of him, which could work. I don't think he will do it. So no, I think he's going to stick with the one up top. But I think Pellegrini could be saying to himself, I don't trust any other striker to play that position up there with him. So my only option is to go with one up top, because he doesn't trust a Yeti. So my answer is no, I don't think he's going to. But if he did, I would try it with, if you don't trust a Yeti, I would try it with Antonio. Oh. And probably I'm putting Antonio over a Yeti, honestly. Or let's try Yarmolenko up there and see, because he's not a fast winger.
No. You took the words right out of my mouth, because I was definitely going to go with Antonio up top with Allaire. However, maybe if you go Anderson, Noble, Rice, Yarmolenko in the midfield, up top with Antonio and Allaire.
That would be what I would do. If you're going to switch, I don't know that I would switch it. I think I like Antonio out on the wing, and I think Antonio likes to be out on the wing, which would then mean you would have to bring Yarmolenko into striker or drop him completely, which I wouldn't be opposed to either one at this point. And to get into his second question, did the last 20 minutes of the Spurs game, I think I already said that no, I don't think it did. I don't think it makes any difference at all. Why aren't we showing that effort from minute one? And so, no, I do not think that changes anything in my eyes. Now, the board's eyes, I don't know. But in my eyes, it changes absolutely fuck all.
So the next question here is from our buddy Dan Roberts, and that's at Roberts Daniel on Twitter. He asks why he can't have nice things. I'm going to just quickly grab that because it was a joke. You can't have nice things because you're a great person and working hard to change children's lives. So that just means our society works against you. Next one is from Ward Liam, our buddy Liam, and he wants to know your favorite West Ham team of all time. I kind of that question back, I wasn't sure if he meant favorite team as in the year or our favorite players. So I asked you, Brawley, to give me your starting 11 of favorite players.
So you want me to just go ahead and start this?
Yeah, why not? Just run through your team, because I'm quite curious. I want to hear what your team is and then I'll comment.
Okay, so this is like, this isn't like a competitive team. Like, I think if we put this team out, they're going to win. These are like my favorite guys that, yes, I've gotten to either meet or see play in person. So in goal, my favorite goalkeeper of my generation that I've seen, best goalie is probably Fabianski, but my favorite goalkeeper is Robert Green. I think I've told the story many times on here. When I was in Columbus, my first West Ham experience when they were playing the Crew, Robert Green invited me to go have breakfast with him and Carlton Cole, because they were eating together in the buffet line. And they both invited me into the team room to just spend some time with the fans. So I thought that was cool. He played for England, so I loved that. Robert Green was my goalkeeper. Honorable mentioned, I have met Phil Parks, and he almost got in there. But I think Robert Green gets the edge. At right back, I am starting Julian Dix. I met Dixie when we were in North Carolina together when he was a coach, and he spent some time to talk with me, take a selfie with me, and he stopped and chatted with me for a while. And I think every West Ham fan loves Julian Dix, so Julian Dix there. At center half, I have Rio Ferdinand, who I did get to see play at the very beginnings of my West Ham fandom. Rio Ferdinand, just amazing. I think that speaks for itself. And James Collins. I've met Ginge a couple of times now. Great guy. I have his shirt. I got to talk to him on the Fan Zone show that I did with the Premier League Productions, which was really cool. So my center back pairing is Rio Ferdinand and James Collins. And then this one's out of left field. I don't really have any rhyme or reason for picking this person to play left back, but I just loved him. Now, he wasn't very good, but he always gave it his all. And I don't know why. It was an era of West Ham that I really enjoyed him playing. And that's Herita Ilunga at left back. Like I said, not very good, but Ilunga at left back, I just think I wanted to put someone in there that was kind of off the wall, and Ilunga was my favorite left back. So let's do your back five after I gave my back five. So my back five is Green, Dix, Ferdinand, Collins, and Ilunga.
All right, so I'm going three center backs and no outside backs. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to start with my goalkeeper, and because my goalkeeper is my off-the-wall shout. Okay?
Okay.
I figured Rob Green was too easy. Because, and I honestly didn't really like love or hate Rob Green. He wouldn't be my choice. I love Fabianski, but he's on the current team. So I think I only have two players on the current team on this list. So same, my goalkeeper is Jeska Leinen.
You see, I have a UC Jeska Leinen shirt that you might like that probably doesn't fit me if you want it.
Well, I'm fairly large too now. I gained some weight since I moved back to America. I'm up to 250 now, so we gotta get that back down.
We're in the same ballpark of weight there.
All right, I need to get back down. So we're gonna have a West Ham lose weight club or something like that. But yeah, so my goalkeeper is Jeska Leinen. I thought that he was really fun for me to watch. I enjoyed those seasons with him. I never really felt any animosity. I thought he was a solid goalkeeper, but I put him over Rob Green and our other goalkeepers that we've had. And also, folks, for this is the time that I've watched West Ham, so I didn't pick Julian Dix and Parks and Dean Ashton and all them because I know Ash Dean is definitely on your striker list. Yeah. Okay. So my center back pairing or tripling is James Tompkins, Collins, Ginger Pele, and also because I wanted to fit him in there, even though he's not really a center back anymore, Declan Rice. So okay. That is my three in the back.
Okay. Okay, I'm moving into my midfield. I'm gonna do my midfield four. So I'm playing a 4-4-2 here with this team. I have a holding midfield of, and then this guy's gonna be on your list too, Mark Noble. I think he's gonna be on every West Ham fan's list. You can't think about West Ham without thinking about Mark Noble. I wouldn't be a West Ham fan. Oh, that's not true. But Mark Noble has played a huge part in my life. I've met Mark Noble four times now in my life. Every single time he's given me time and talked to me like I was just a normal human being. He signed my shirt. I have two shirts of his. He signed both of them. And genuinely a nice human being, a West Ham person through and through. So Mark Noble gets in my team regardless. So that's
I think that's a given, though. That's definitely a given. All right, who else you got?
Okay, Scott Parker.
That's controversial. Kind of,
it is kind of controversial because he did leave us to go to Tottenham. But you know, when I put myself in his shoes, if your dying father was a Spurs fan and his death wish was for you to go and play for Tottenham, you can't say no to that. And we had just gotten relegated. I have a tough time holding that against him. He got a move to a big six, big seven team at that point. So I love Scott Parker. He scored some great goals for us. And he was Hammer of the Year at least twice. And, you know, just one of our consistently good players through a terrible stretch of football.
I will say this year, I have finally gotten over my Scott Parker, I wouldn't say hatred, because I never hated the guy. He was the captain. I would say it really, really just rubbed me the wrong way that when we got relegated, he didn't come with and help get back up. I thought that really rubbed me the wrong way, and especially because he went to
Rob Green,
right?
Too.
So that just kind of sucked, but especially because he went to Spurs. But I finally kind of moved on, and I think it's really cool what he's doing at Fulham, and I really hope that works out for him, and maybe he can be our manager one day.
I agree.
If he's successful, of course.
I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him in sooner rather than later, maybe. Okay, and now I'm going to my wingers. So outside on the wings on my 4-4-2. On the right, we are going with Mikel Antonio. A guy who came from nowhere, really. Started from non-league football and worked his way up. I have a Mikel Antonio shirt. I've never met him, but I think his effort that he puts in every single shift is really impressive, and I think that's something every West Ham fan appreciates, is someone who gives it their all every time, and he's been consistent. He had a couple of down spots where he's gotten injured and not played well, but across the whole, I'm throwing Mikel Antonio in there because I love him. I think he's the beast, and his work rate and his effort blow me away. Now, on the left wing, we have Matty Etherington. So I've met Etherington, and I got to watch him play a lot during those years with us. And again, a very nice guy, a guy who I'm trying to get on the show for us right now, whose ex is trying to help us land Matty Etherington. And just, again, an all-around good guy by all accounts. I haven't met him, but everyone that I've talked to who have met him says he's a great guy, and so he makes it into my favorite 11. So I have two forwards left. I'm going to throw it back to you, so get through your midfield, and then we'll go to your forwards.
Okay, so I'm going 5 in the midfield. So I'm going to have two guys sit back there. I'm going to have Mark Noble, obvious. I'm not going to go into Mark Noble because we kind of already talked about how much of a amazing person he has been for this club and our love for him. This is obviously a Mark Noble Love Fest podcast, as if you've never listened to us before. The other person I'll have in there is Kevin Nolan.
All right, that's a good shout.
I always loved Kevin Nolan. I liked how fiery he was. I was a little annoyed. I still remember when he got sent off against Liverpool and got like a three-match ban going into the holiday period, but because he stamped someone like in the back of the thigh. Good old Kev Nolan. But yeah, I'm really glad we got him off of Newcastle, and I thought he was just a great, great captain and a good person for that transition time period into Mark Noble's captaincy. So I have him there. And then the other person I have in the midfield as our kind of attacking mid, I have Ravel Morrison.
Ooh, that's controversial.
I know. But again, I like his attitude. I liked
his favorite players, yeah.
As one of my favorite players, yeah, I would definitely say so. I really liked his attitude. I love his about me personality. I really wish that it worked out.
You like the NBA too, don't you?
I do like. I like college basketball better, but I do like the NBA. Like I like the NFL. Like I love. I'm all about players being about
personality.
Yeah, about personality, about being full of themselves. Maybe not to the extent of Zlatan, because I don't like Zlatan. But I'm also more so about like empowerment and not letting them don't succumb to the man. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree.
My outside guys on the left, I have Matty Jarvis. And then on the right, even though he played on the left, but I wanted him cutting back in on his left, I wanted Stuart Downing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
So I have an all English midfield.
You can definitely see your era of West Ham watching in that midfield there. I think all of those guys played together.
I think they did. That was I've been watching now. I think I said my first season was the year before the relegation where we got promoted against Blackpool. So I think that would be 2009, 10 or 10, 11.
One of the two, yeah.
So those were the players that, especially I was in high school. I was in about 11th, 12th grade. So those were the guys that really like got me through high school and early college and really, really cemented my West Ham fandom. So those are some of my favorite players. And then I'll just finish real quick because I only have two strikers. Carlton Cole. Obviously, and I've mentioned this in another episode we did. I think we did our top three favorite, but now we're just running through a 11. My striker would be Frederick Piquion with Carlton. Yeah. I just love the guy. I'll never forget when he got sent off. I said this last time we talked about him against Everton when Fellaini got the equalizer at Everton away, but he scored what would have been the winner, went up 2-1. Jumped into the crowd, got a second yellow, got sent off, and then Fellaini equalized late, and it was 2-2. Yeah. But I still liked Frederick Piquion. I think he was a really fun player, and then he came to play for the Portland Timbers.
Yep, so. He did.
All right, off to you. Finish it strong.
I just want a few mentions. I love Downing. Yeah, Downing scored the first away goal I ever got to see with West Ham at Sunderland. He scored that goal, so I love him for that. Ravel Morrison, I'll never forget the celebrations for his wonder goal, his solo coast-to-coast goal against Spurs. And Carlton Cole was an honorable mention of mine. He didn't quite make it in. I love him. I love the guy to death, but I figured you were going to put him in there, so I thought I'm going to keep him off based off of that. Kevin Nolan got really toxic towards the end of his career, and I will even admit I was a very – very animated towards him, and I regret doing that so on social media. But I like your team as a whole, but you can definitely see the era of West Ham that you were guessing. And then I'm guessing, we'll do a manager at the end. We'll throw a random wrench in there. We're going to pick a manager.
Go ahead.
But I'll finish up my top
finish
two.
Strong while I think about that.
My guy on the right striker, we're playing a 4-4-2 on the right. I'm playing Craig Bellamy, a very much a live wire. I think if you got to see more of him, you would have loved him because he is the me figure. I mean, he is a very selfish person, but man, can the guy play football and score you goals. I absolutely love Craig Bellamy, and he was actually very nice to me when I met him in Columbus. So Craig Bellamy. And then my other strike partner with him is going to be Dean Ashton, arguably one of the best strikers to ever play for West Ham. Just injuries ruined his career. I was thankful I got to see his last two goals he ever scored for the club on opening day against Wigan back in 2008. And again, very nice to me when I met him in Columbus. And that's my all-time 11 for me of personal guys that I've gotten to see. And my manager, if I had to pick one manager that I loved, and it's so tough, I have it down between two. My two that I'm picking between is Harry Redknapp or Alan Pardew. And I think I'm going to give it to Pards just because he gave us that 2006 FA Cup final. Excuse me. So my manager of my all-time team managing these 11 guys is going to be Alan Pardew.
Okay. So I think that I want to talk about Bellamy real quick. Scott Parker has played for 7 Premier League clubs, but I think Bellamy has the most clubs played for, correct?
He's probably up there. I don't know about the most ever, but he's played for a lot of them.
Okay, here it is. He is number 2. It says right here that Craig Bellamy, whenever this article was written in 2013, so it may be out of date because I swear I thought it said somewhere. Anyway, Craig Bellamy has 7 clubs, and it said Marcus Bent had 8. So at least he was up there. Anyway,
surely your manager's got to be Sam Allardyce with that team, eh?
When it comes to my favorite manager, it wouldn't be Sam because I was ready for Sam to go. Obviously, isn't Avram Grant. So I guess it would have to be Super Slav. It wouldn't be David Moyes, not the way Pellegrini's going. So of the people that I've seen, it would have to be Super Slav. So, but plus
Slaven Bilic.
Yeah, but since he gave me Everton away anyway, so of my favorite day of my life. So I definitely that's who I definitely have to go with there. Do you have the next question?
Yeah, I do here. So this next one is from it's from Nigel, and I think Nigel was taking a little dig at our friend Liam Ward here. His question was, does it annoy you when people put West Ham in one word, so like West Ham and not West Ham? Because Liam, when he asked that last question, was favorite West Ham team of all time, and he does that quite frequently. Does it annoy me? No, not really. The proper way is definitely to space out the names, but it does not bother me all that much, evidently. It might bug you, though, Nige, by the looks of things. Tony, what do you think?
Coming from the guy who can't spell at all, which would be me in any group chat, I get crap from Scott Davis, I get crap from Nick, I get crap from you and Liam's, I definitely get it from Andy, so my spelling is horrendous, so no, it doesn't bother me, because I know what y'all are talking about. However, I can definitely see why Nigel is taking a funny little dig there. Also, let's see, the next one is from the Hub City Hammers. And that is from Hattiesburg, MS. Oh, God, that's taking me...
No, it's at Hub City Hammers is the handle.
No. I'm just saying where Hub City is.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Hattiesburg, MS. Is MS Mississippi? That's taking me back.
That's Hattiesburg, Mississippi, yes.
Oh, Lord, that's taking me back to social studies in elementary school.
You should know your state abbreviations by now.
So, no offense to this, our Southern listeners, I don't really... To be fair, I did just buy an Ole Miss crew neck. So, anyway, this isn't a college football podcast. Not really a question, but I'd love for y'all to talk about Kovac in. What are your thoughts there?
So, he's referring to Kovac, who just got released, I believe, from Bayern Munich. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're running out of time here because I got to go here. So, I think this is a question I would like to address later down the road when I can, if Pellegrini does get the sack, or when we're getting closer to a concrete sacking, but I don't think we have time for this one today. So, if he's managed Bayern Munich, I wouldn't say no to the guy. I'll put it that way.
Well, we thought that about Pellegrini and Man City as well, though. So we got to be very careful.
Real Madrid. Yes.
Let's get kind of picky here with our last few. Although we appreciate everyone's, we are running close on time. I do want your opinion on this Anang thing everyone's talking about, that he wasn't into U23s. For the record, I do want to start if you don't mind. I do not want him to start this weekend. I'd like to see David Martin. I do not want...
I'm going to say the question really quickly just to give the guy a shout-out. So the question's from Stammers at NYHammer2. Should Anang get the start ahead of Roberto? And he says yes. So you say no.
Yeah, I say no because I do not want to see a 19-year-old goalkeeper go up to Stamford Bridge and see us get absolutely smashed up 5-0. Even though we're already losing 5-0 and people are saying, well, what would be the difference? I can just see idiot Twitter going crazy about this guy and saying, oh, he wasn't ready, blah, blah, blah. Well, of course he wasn't ready. He just went to the team that's number two or three in the league, Chelsea, who's extremely hot right now. And I just don't want to see that. So I'd rather get David Martin. He's got to be better than Roberto, but I still just don't want to see him get picked off for his first game like that. Go ahead.
I totally and 100% disagree with you on this one. I mean, it's not even close. So we did this with Ben Johnson against Man City, who it actually turned out okay with. Now, goalkeeper is a different position. I will give you that. If you're a 19-year-old goalkeeper and you're like, I might get the chance to play against Chelsea, my first game, if I could pick anyone, Chelsea's going to be right up there at the top of that list for teams you want to make your debut against. I don't think you should be worried about the kid's confidence. I don't think you should be worried about – I think West Ham fans will be very, very, very generous towards the kid because we know how shitty – Roberto is and how terrible he is. Now, if I'm picking David Martin or Anang, I don't know what I'm getting with David Martin, honest to God. I have no idea. I really don't with Anang either, but I think I want to put the kid in there who has a future with the club versus the guy who was brought in to be a third keeper and never seen ever and retire. So if I had to pick between the two, I'm going with Anang. He cannot be any worse. He cannot do worse than Roberto. The bar is set very, 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 very low for him. I mean, he's got to beat Roberto, which should not be hard to do.
You could.
I don't know about that. I really don't. Because Roberto, honest to God, has made some incredible saves. He actually has made. He actually has saved. He's probably faced the most amount of shots since he's been in.
It was more rhetorical.
I know that. I understand that. But I don't want to be that guy that says I could do better, because I genuinely don't think I could come anywhere close to Roberto.
One quick, I know we're rushing. One quick off topic though about things you could do better. If anyone has the time, go look up Katie Nolan on Always Late with Katie Nolan. It's on ESPN Plus. She did an episode about people who are on social media who say they can do better than athletes, and it was a bit about I think it was kicking field goals, and they got this guy that was slating an NFL field goal kicker for missing, and he got up there to try and kick the field goal and did absolutely a terrible job. So just a fun bit for anybody who wants to go do that. I think that's about it, unless Brawley wants to sneak one more in. I see Minneapolis Hammer's question. However, I really feel like I want to deep dive into that one as well next week, where we have more time, because we do plan on getting back regular. Did you have any more that you wanted to jump into, other than thanking Jeremiah for his question again, even though we kind of already answered it from Green Street Hammers and Three Men in a Box?
Thanks to Jeremiah for asking the question about Anang. He wants Anang in, for the record, so he's on my side. But yeah, I think that's about all the time we have. Do you have anything you want to add before we go?
Nope. I want you to take us out for old time's sake. Give us all the good stuff that I always mess up. It is getting dark looking out my beautiful window. So let's finish strong, and we'll get some FIFA going and enjoy our evenings. Thanksgiving Eve. It's a drinking night, folks.
It is. So you can follow us on Twitter at West Ham Way US Pod. We do have an email now, so you can send an email to West Ham Way USA Podcast at gmail.com if you have any feedback, if you have any suggestions, if you want to give us some kind words. Our email box is always open. So and if you have anything you want to add at all, send us an email. How about that? Just send us an email. Tony, his personal, I don't know why I'm stammering right now. This is like, I've never done this before ever in my life.
I know, you're a professional. This is literally your part. You have like one job. It was to nail this part. What are you doing?
Be sure you guys go onto iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and rating. We really appreciate it. It helps us reach more people. And that's about it. I'm done. I'm done bitching. I'm done moaning. I'm ready to get off of here and go enjoy my night and watch the St. Louis Blues play tonight. And everyone in the United States, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. My favorite holiday ever. My fat ass loves Thanksgiving. I like eating 5 plates of food. So to every one of our American listeners and even our UK listeners, if you partake in Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Black Friday shopping. I have to go back to work on Friday. I work in a mall and work Black Friday. So, yeah, pray for me on Friday.
All right, come on, you Irons.
See ya.